Thanks, Liz. Well, I don't know if this is like church you're used to or whether you think we're a bit over the top. Well, I want to speak on over the top. Is that okay? If you don't think we're over the top yet. Yesterday, some of our leadership team were away for the day and with a group of other churches, and we were looking at how we can help each other on our journey and learn from one another. It's called Learning Communities Day in urban settings. We went to, of all places, Barnsley. And one of the tasks we were set was to produce a pictorial stroke diagrammatic representation of who you think your church is. And we came up with that. It come up on screen, so it'll be a bit of a bigger one. I'm glad we had Hugh with us because it was his idea. And you think, goodness me, what on earth is that? And it's really rooted in Genesis 49, verse 22, where Joseph is being blessed, and it says, Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. And as we reflected on who we are as a church and what we do and what we're about, there's very much we want to be deeply rooted in this spring, this reservoir of God's Spirit and enabling and the power of God working through us, but not only to keep it encased within the walls of a building or a community that we're just locked into, but to go over the wall and to reach into the wider community, to go into the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria of this world and make a difference. Do you think we're doing a little bit of that? You're not convinced. Hopefully before the end of this, you will be. Because we've had Dale here today talking about and the partnership that we have with Safe Families for Children. And I want to think a little bit about partnerships this morning and to encourage us in what God is already doing, but yet further what God might want to do. And if you look in your Bible, I'm going to take a few thoughts from Philippians this morning. Philippians 1, and just read a couple of verses from there, verse 3. Well, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he's saying, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul says, I remember you, and I pray with you, for you with joy. Are there people that you think about, and actually, it just comes, a smile comes across your face? Yeah. It's just great being in friendship and connection and partnership with them. And this is what Paul's saying. And when you think about the definition of partnership, it's that relationship for a purpose, isn't it? There's a definition that'll probably come up on screen. It's a bit more wordy than that. But it's standing together, joining together, combining resources and effort and energy, etc. And when I enter and you enter into partnerships for God's kingdom to be expanded and grow across this earth and influence across this earth, then we're saying we want to cooperate, we want to minister and share together with the likes of what we've heard this morning. And I'm willing to give what I have into that partnership. Just a few thoughts on what is a features of partnership. Now you think, actually, David, I've heard you talk on this before. Correct. You have, if you've been around a while. But really, it's a common goal, isn't there? Something of a purpose. There's a Greek word that we sometimes hear, the word koinonia. Koinonia really means that whole sense of fellowship, of gathered together, of being together for one another, meaning bound together for a united purpose, a strong bond, often around a cause. You know, people will do things for a cause. Not always do things for a project, but they'll do things for a cause. How many of you know we're about a great cause? It's the kingdom of God and the declaration that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that there's no one to the way to the Father but by him. Thank you. This whole sense of the common cause, who is God calling us to stand with, to work with, comes out of partnership, out of relationship and connection. And a vested interest, here's a big one. You know, when you start working in partnership with people and you start connecting across the body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ, in a wider sense, there's a real sense of it tests our motives sometimes. A vested interest in the success of others, I think, is a key feature of a powerful partnership. Francois van der Kerk, some of you may have heard him speak a few years ago, South African guy, and he had a phrase, and he said, he would often say, your success is my honor. Your success is my honor. To see you succeed in what God's called you to do, what God wants you to do, is just something that blesses me. You know, and I look at some of the partnerships that we have that go over the wall, beyond the walls of the building, as it were. And I think about Safe Families for Children. There'll be some coming up on screen, hopefully. And I think about CARE, Christian Action, Resource Enterprise. Got a number of people who work and are involved in that setting here this morning. We've got the Rock Foundation, Pam and the guys over there. We've got the Street Angels that are working into Cleethorpes on Saturday night. Steve's here heading that up. We've got our World Connections, people around the world that we have key partnerships with. We've got Shirley here this morning, who's heading off to Cambodia again this week, and we're going to be praying for her at the end of the service. Making that difference. We've got other churches. We were praying a fortnight ago. We had a whole, it looks like a rogues gallery, didn't it, of church leaders' photos on here for the different churches that we have connections with around Northeast Lincolnshire, and we prayed for them 2 weeks ago because we want to see success in God's church. Hey, if it's all about us here, we're going to miss the purposes of God for Northeast Lincolnshire and beyond. We think about the network that we're connected to, the ground level network. We pray God's blessing upon it. And it's, when we're doing that, it's a real motive checker. Because, hey, isn't comparison a real nasty thing? Huh? The third feature is that real personal concern. It really gets down to you. Paul says in Philippians 1, a bit later on in verse 8, he says, I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Wow. I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And then he said, so much so that in chapter 2, he said, I want to send some resource to you, and I'm going to send you my best guy. That's what Paul said. He said, I hope to send Timothy to you, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Listen to this. Paul says, I have no one else like Timothy who will show you genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone else looks for their own interests, not of those of Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. And he says, Timothy is going to have a genuine... Isn't it great when we can send people and we can commission people and we can release people into stuff? And it's great that, you know, Dale's saying, he spoke to me the other day, I saw him on Tuesday, and he said, City Church have been amazing. I like to hear stories like that. Why is that? It's not because I've just allowed Dale to come, but it's because people have responded and people have got on board and people have been released and trained to do some stuff that's making a difference. Yeah. You ought to be encouraged. We are a tree, that's a vine that's going over the wall, making a difference. Is there more to do? Absolutely more to do. The sharing of resources, key feature of effective partnership. You know, partnerships work both ways, don't they? Yes. Come on. Some of you are not so sure. The church at Philippi, seemingly at the time, were the only church that really supported Paul in any significant way. Philippians 4 talks about that, verse 15, 16. Not only financially, but also in personnel. So chapter 2 talks about this. 2:25, it says, Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, who you sent to take care of my needs. So here we've got Epaphroditus coming from, being sent from Philippi to work with Paul, and Paul is sending Timothy to work at Philippi. That cross-pollination of resource and gifting into this. So those common features, common goal, a vested interest, a personal concern, a sharing of resources. So why do we bother with this? Why don't we just do our little thing here and everybody goes home at half past, and they said half past 12. Oh, that'd be good. We can do that, can't we? After you've had a cup of tea. Why don't we just do that? Well, how many of you know that actually you're stronger when you've got correct and good partnerships? Paul says this in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Philippians. he said, I've been confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Christ. There's something because of that connection that he had with the church and a recognition of the gift that he could bring, that apostolic gift into that, and the releasing of ministry through Timothy, etc. Is a powerful thing. You know, we can learn and we can share and we can encourage with those around us. How many of you know that the scripture, Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Quite often we miss the word and off the front of that because we think it's a good catch-all that God's going to provide us with everything we need. Well, there's a little thing there. It says and. And it's in the context here that Epaphroditus has brought a generous gift to Paul from the Philippian church. So Epaphroditus has brought a gift, and Paul says, and God is going to supply all your needs now. There's something about being generous in our partnerships that will bring the providence and blessing of God into our setting. Anybody believe that? Good, because I'm going to prove it. 2017, of all the gifts, tithes and offerings, of gift aid that we got last year, of money that came in various sources, apart from the vision offering, which was designated giving, we gave 28.8% of that away. 28%. To people we funded and supported, mission partners, our Will Connections, our social action programs. 28%. That is the highest amount we've ever given away in any one year. And I think we should be grateful to God that we were able to do that. To bless others, to bless some of our partners, to encourage in that way. We gave it away. Some people say, that's nuts, David. That's a bit over the top. Well, why would we do that on a year when we had some big needs ourselves? Now, we did. That wasn't the motivation. It's just the way we are and what we do. But in a year last year where we had the need of a building, and this time last year we had no idea how that was going to work out and what was going to happen. But when it came about, and it came about quite quickly in real terms, we were able to purchase these three buildings that we have on this site, totally debt-free. With no mortgage. There's a lot of churches would be very pleased to say that. And then we had a need to refurbish these buildings, and that's still in process, and to make them fit for purpose. And people have given their time and their energy and their talents, and this is you I'm talking about, to be able to make that happen. You've given of your finances, and, you know, almost £72,000 in vision offering and gift aid. That's amazing. Don't ever take this lightly. This is amazing stuff. And then on Tuesday this week, we banked £10,000 grant from the Garfield Western Foundation towards the refurbishment of these buildings. I think we ought to thank God for his provision among us. And I would say also there's an unquantifiable amount of stuff that I know, I don't know it all, I'm sure, where I know people have bought stuff and it's not gone through the church books and they've blessed us with things and et cetera. There's an unquantifiable amount of that. So thank you to everybody who's been involved in partnering with us as a church to see that happen. You know, and as we honour God in the stewarding of the resources that come to us as a church, then God says, I'll honour you. I'll honour you. And we're the beneficiaries of something of that, even as we sit here this morning. I'll tell you about another thing about partnerships, is we need each other, because all of us is fallible. Just nudge the person next to you and say, I'm fallible. You thought I was going to say, hey, hello. Listen to this. Paul says, Philippians 1:10, he says, that you may be able to discern what is best and kept pure and blameless. Talking about this whole thing about partnership. Stuart Bell, who leads the Ground Level Network, spoke a message to all the leaders about 3 years ago. And he said, you know, you lot have all got blind spots. to the leaders. How dare he? He said, some of you have got religious blind spots. You're hung up about some stuff. Some of you have got moral blind spots, money blind spots, power blind spots, faith blind spots. Think about things when they're in your blind spot, you don't know. You just don't know. And actually, when you're in partnership and connection with people who can come alongside and you've got that confidence in that relationship, they can come alongside and just have a word and encourage you and point some stuff out to you. God has not called you and I to live in isolation. Called to be part of this family of God with key connections. Now, you're not going to be vulnerable with everybody, but there's some key connections that you and I should be the beneficiaries of. And I think the other thing about partnerships is you can play to your strengths. I can achieve more personally when I'm in partnership because I can play to my strengths and not get bogged down with things that are just not me. You know, when we announced that we were going to go for this building, I'll point him out. There's a guy over there in the corner. He's called Andy. And he came to me after that Sunday morning service and he says, David, he said, would you like a project manager to do all this refurb stuff? And I said, yes, please. Because he's got the gift to that. If it had been me, we'd have still been in the school. We might have owned the buildings, but we'd have still been in the school. But that's released me and others to do what we do. This is the wonderful thing about the family of God. Partnership, you know, we've said it's not that one-way relationship. It's that synergy of us working together, that combined product that we're able to bring about as we each do our part. But the primary partnership that you and I need is with Jesus Christ. If we've never asked Jesus Christ into our lives, we've never had that experience of knowing him as our Savior. And we need that. You know, Paul again, Philippians 4, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 15, said, if you remain in me, I'll remain in you, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. But you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. If we remain in him, we've got that partnership with him. It changes everything. Somebody may be here today needs to get connected to Jesus. Maybe for the very first time, you've never asked Jesus into your life, then this morning's an opportunity for you to do that. A neighbor once said to me, he said, David, I could never be a Christian. I said, why is that? He said, I could never keep it up. With the expectations he had in his mind of what a Christian should and could do, he said, I could never keep that up. And I said, no, neither could I, apart from partnership with Jesus. So we need that partnership. I love Philippians 2:13 in the New Living Translation. It says, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. I may be glad God's working in you. So there's partnering with him, primary partnership. Partnering in the local church, connected with the body of Christ, as we've talked about already. And partnering in the local community and beyond. You know, and I want to ask you to consider, number one, how's your partnership and relationship with Jesus this morning? Number two, are you plugged in and connected with the local church, the body of Christ? And number three, how are your partnerships in touching the world around us? Perhaps the musicians would come back. You know, there's 160,000 people, give or take, in northeast Lincolnshire. 2.3% of those are probably in church this morning. It's about 4,000. It's an awful lot of people who are not attending church, not that the church is the ultimate, but it's a bit of an indicator, isn't it? And we want to make a dent and a difference in our world. And when people start to be drawn to Jesus, are brought in, it reminds me of that passage where Jesus challenges his disciples, well, in the early days, just as they were becoming his disciples, really, to they've been fishing out on the Lake of Galilee and caught nothing. And in Luke chapter 5, Jesus gives them some advice as a carpenter to fishermen where they should fish and how they should do it. And they caught such a large number of fish, it says in Luke 5, verse 6, that their nets began to break. How many of you believe it here that in northeast Lincolnshire, we could do with a net-breaking catch of fish for Jesus, for the kingdom of God? It says, such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. The task of reaching this area for Jesus and beyond is not going to be done by one little group, but together, in partnership with the Church of Jesus Christ, we can make a dent in this world and bring about kingdom change and kingdom advancement. So, I'd love to pray and just think about, firstly, that first partnership. If there's anybody here today who you've never asked Jesus Christ into your life, then today you can do that. And I just want to lead us in a very simple prayer. And if you want to respond to that, just you pray it as well. So, Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you came, Lord Jesus, to die on a cross for me. Lord, I now receive the gift of life that that brings. I hand all the sin and all the issues of my life over to you. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I ask for freedom to come into my life again. Lord, make me your child. Bring me into your family. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, I ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, I'd love to chat with you afterwards. Come and seek me out. I'll be at the front here. But I also want us to think about our partners and connections. And we've got a number here today. And what I'd love to do is to pray for some of those key partnerships. So I mentioned Shirley. Shirley's over here representing a number of our world connections around the globe. But I wonder if we could have one or two people just go and stand with Shirley. She's going out to Cambodia this week for a fortnight or so. So one or two people, let's just do that. Just begin to move around, as I mentioned, people by name. I wonder if some people could just gather around Dale and Debbie over here and just pray for them and the work of Safe Families for Children. Come on, don't be shy. Just let's have a bit of caring for one another, encouraging one another. I wonder if some people could get around Pam over there with ROC, the ROC Foundation, and the work they're doing with the vulnerable adults and learning difficulty guys. Pray God's blessing, favour upon them. I wonder if some people can get around Ellen. Where's Ellen? Over there. With regard to our CAP program, that we're not only seeing more people become debt-free, but people coming into new life in Christ. We also want to pray for Steve, who's right next to her, who heads up the Street Angels project in Cleethorpes. Why don't we just get around him today and pray for him? I'm just looking, we got anybody here, any of the staff from CARE in the room this morning? They're all out doing kids stuff or other things probably. Okay, Denise, you work for a firm that works with CARE. Some people just come and join with Denise. And oh, you're over there. Nate's over there. Sorry, I didn't see you. Okay, Nate actually works for CARE. One or two people come and pray with Nate and the work of CARE with all the families and things that we're involved in. And, you know, we're connected to the network of Ground Level. There's about 80, 90 churches in that network. I get the privilege of being the chair of directors and the executive team of that. So I wonder if one or two people could just come and pray with me for a couple of minutes. Got some key things coming up this year. And then for others, why don't you just pray for the churches in this area? We mentioned some of them. That God would use his church as his net to draw many people into his kingdom at such a time as this. Okay? And then the guys are going to sing and we'll conclude.